You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com, to listen to past programs and find real estate information. Call me after the program at 452-2428. 452-CHAT. Talking with Peter Schrag, a columnist for the Sacramento Bee, on the private property rights and the taking and eminent domain. Proposition 90 is on the ballot, come hell or high water, for November. And we're talking about, basically, let me give you today's letter to the editor, Peter, and have you respond to it.
Okay.
He says that you end your column with that you feel this approach, Proposition 90, is a sledgehammer remedy.
Yeah.
And he goes on that, you know, well, maybe sledgehammer is the only rational solution. If the eminent domain goes out of control, we need this remedy. And the idea now is to get something working before there is a disaster. And while the proposition might contain some less than desirable additions to the basic initiative, these appendages can be attended to in subsequent legal challenges and initiatives. That part right there, that doesn't sit well with me. I don't want to see something come in, you know, and have problems.
Right.
But basically, there's someone that's just taking it at its face. Maybe he doesn't know. Hopefully, he's listening to this program. So you feel strongly enough that there's so many ancillary
problems. Yeah.
That
I do. And keep in mind one basic thing. Keep in mind that eminent domain and regulation and zoning and all of that was designed in considerable part to protect property, to keep you in your home from suddenly discovering that next door there's some very undesirable use, and that was one of the basic ideas of zoning to begin with, is that you wouldn't buy a home or a piece of property and then discover that somebody had built a rendering plant next door. So I think this is always a matter of balance of which way do you tilt, and clearly you can overdo it, and in New London it's very possible that it was overdone, and there are a lot of redevelopment agencies now that's, and particularly in California, that are strongly motivated to redevelop property or to seize property in the attempt to generate more tax revenues, and particularly in California, sales tax revenues, to get rid of residential or low-use residential property and replace it with, let's say, a shopping mall, which would generate more taxes.
Now, would you, if you were going to rewrite Proposition 90, could you do it and make it work? And you know, do you feel that there's ways that we could mom and pop?
I'm not sure I would do it by the initiative route. I think your qualm before in response to the letter writer, I think was absolutely on point, and that is that you don't say, let's pass something, and then somewhere down the road we'll pass something else, assuming somebody can put up the money to get it on the ballot and all the rest of it. It's a clumsy way to legislate. So I think it would be better if we could do it by through conventional legislation in Sacramento. And, you know, and I can just hear some of the listeners saying, oh, please don't talk to me about Sacramento. But it seems to me, and at this point, the municipal the League of Cities, for example, says they're willing, and they even see a need for some kind of reform. But it seems to me it would be better to do it through legislation, tighten up the definition of blighted, or broaden it, however you want to say it, so that cities or counties or redevelopment agencies couldn't walk around the definition so easily.
A little more accountable,
and make it tougher to define something as blighted when it in fact is not. and perhaps put greater restrictions on delivering private property to other private developers. But
Now, restrictions or eliminating it?
Well, I would say you don't want to totally eliminate it, because it seems to me in some cases, if you have a, let's say you have a blighted area in the middle of a city, which is has often been the case, and you want to put in a shopping center there or a shopping mall because you want to revitalize the downtown area, bring people back in, have some nightlife, all the rest of it. Let's say raise a bunch of rundown houses, and then you basically develop a shopping mall or some kind of a commercial center or a convention center with a lot of private restaurants or stores or whatever to create some vitality downtown. I think that ought to be allowed, and because I don't know how else you do it. I mean, you can't turn the city of Sacramento or the city of Santa Barbara or city of Ventura into Macy's or Nordstrom's. Those are the kinds of ventures and operations that will bring people back downtown. I don't think you want to prevent that.
I know we did it here in Santa Barbara. Are you familiar with the Paseo Nuevo?
Yeah.
Downtown.
Yes, right.
And I should get someone from the city on and find out if they, apparently eminent domain and this whole series of events is really not utilized all that much from what I've heard from people I've interviewed.
That's correct.
We had the League of California Cities on here a while ago. We touched on it briefly. Have they taken an official position on Prop 90 itself?
Oh, yes, they have. They're part of a coalition that opposes Prop 90.
Okay.
As you'd expect. But as I say, I think that...
And as you'd expect, because of all these ancillary negative...
Because of the ancillary things, and because it restricts their... It puts severe limitations on their ability to redevelop or to zone or to regulate, mainly for... And Prop 90 says you can regulate for the purposes of health and welfare. No, health, excuse me, health and safety, public safety. It says nothing about welfare or environmental or other purposes. And that's one of the things that the opponents, including the League of Cities, are worried about.
So if you want to save the spotted yellow frog or whatever that frog, what's that famous frog that's always around here in the valley? I can't.
Well, those have always been those examples, the snail darter and the spotted owl. And, I'm not sure there was a spotted yellow frog. But
well, I was combining them all. I know it's a balance where you don't want to, pave paradise and put up a parking lot, and when you think of the examples of mom and pop who've saved and scrimped and just have their little piece versus the developer or slumlord, I guess everyone can think of examples. There was a case L.A. Not too long ago about a carpet manufacturer who was for the city of L.A., I think it was in the heart of L.A., I'm not certain, and they took his land because they wanted to have a shelter for pets.
Well,
and then 2-3 years later, they ended up selling the land to another, I think it was a carpet manufacturer, a similar business.
Right. Well, I think the examples you cite and the discussion you just the point you just made, I think is a perfect argument for flexibility and reason rather than for rigidity and absolute prohibitions. And I think that finally you have to somehow allow public entities some discretion in making those choices and deciding between what's emotionally the mom and pop and what's emotionally the slumlord. In fact, of course, mom and pop can be the slumlord too. But I think those are decisions that I think are better made subject to clear definitions, legal definitions, constitutional definitions, but are made so that public entities can make some choices. And as I say, in many cases, in some cases, it's simply that land has been condemned so that the city or the development agency can generate tax revenues. But, you know, I mean, the basic purpose of all of this has been to essentially generate decent neighborhoods and vital, you know, vital downtown areas and all the rest.
If Proposition 90 passes, cite some examples where that will occur, and you can go, aha, see, I told you this would happen.
Well, I think two things will occur. One is that, first of all, there's a lot of ambiguous language in Prop 90. So I think even the people who are supporting it strongly acknowledge that there are legal questions. So I think one of the things that will happen is that a lot of land use lawyers will, you know, get a lot of business. There'll be a wave of lawsuits. And then I think, depending on how the courts rule, there could be much more caution by municipalities and so on, because in what they do in terms of regulation and eminent domain, because they're facing big bucks liabilities if they don't do it right. And so they'll be, and the question then is, will they then go overboard or underboard, I suppose, in not regulating enough? And then, of course, we'll have complaints on the other side saying, I'm living next door to this nuisance. And again, the question is, how will the courts define all the language in that initiative?
Peter Schrag, columnist for the Sacramento Bee, joining us on Radio Real Estate. A pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much for your time. I understand you have to rush off and go paint your house because you have fear that it looks kind of blighted.
That's right, and I want to make sure that they don't grab it.
You better watch out. They're right behind you, Peter.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Peter Schrag, columnist for the Sacramento Bee. We'll take a break. We'll come back for the third segment. He's gone, but if anyone has a comment, you're welcome to give us a ring. And then the fourth segment, of course, the weekly multiple listing sales update. You stay tuned. You'll be right back. Our phone number, 564-1290, 564-1290.